Hopkins.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tools of Ignorance podcast. I'm Hudson Belinsky. Joining me as always, Jonah Bierenbaum. Jonah, how are you today?
Still breathing. I'm doing good. Yourself?
I am still breathing as well. It's about 6:05 on Monday, Eastern time. There's some baseball. There's some things in the works. But first off, if you'd like to email the show, you can do that at toolsofignorance11@gmail.com. And if you want to follow Jonah on Twitter, you can do that at Jonah8264. And you can follow myself at Hudson Belinsky. So, Jonah, what are we talking about today?
Today we got the Twins on the docket. They are a team that, like the other teams that we've previewed, have struggled mightily in 2012. But I also think we need to address the fact that it's March. Like this, I believe this is the first episode that we're doing in March, and baseball starts this month. So just take a second to process that.
Carp. Holy carp. Yeah, so we're now 27 days away. So one note I had in our the Week in Quotes piece today at Baseball Prospectus, there really wasn't a whole lot of substantive information put out on the Twitter sphere. And so one quote that I included was from Billy Hamilton, the speedster in the Cincinnati Reds organization. And that was a tweet from Billy Hamilton that is, quote, "growing my hair out," unquote. And so, yeah, 27 days till opening day. But, yeah, that's still a tweet that we're seeing.
Well, no, I'm glad he's keeping the public abreast of his hairstyle. Like, I know last episode we treated our listeners to an update as to what facial hair we were sporting. So,
yeah,
you know, if Billy Hamilton's doing it, I mean, I guess all the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah, actually, I shaved my beard. And so now I'm just rocking some scruff. But I still look good, obviously.
That's given.
I'm still pretty much a 7 on the 20 to a 70 on the 20 to 80 scale. You know, I'm you know, one of the best players in the game, but not a Hall of Famer, or not, well, you know, still possibly a Hall of Famer, just not an 8, but you know, those are hard to find.
Not first ballot, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So the Minnesota Twins, as we digress, as we're prone to doing, they finished with a record of 66-96 in 2012, good for last place in the American League Central, a bad team in a division that's not particularly strong. This offseason was keyed by a couple of trades where they sent over two of their major league assets for a handful of prospects. They also acquired Vance Worley. They made another handful of low-impact signings in guys like Kevin Correa. They brought in Mike Pelfrey as well. My initial impression was that they recognize that they're a team that pretty much needs a complete rebuild after the struggles they've had over the past couple seasons. And the moves that they made this offseason, in addition to the draft picks that they've made, portend an entire rebuild, and I think that they are well underway. What were your impressions, Hudson?
Yeah, they completely restocked the farm. You can, if you were to just look at their system a year ago, you know, it wasn't the worst system in baseball or anything, but it wasn't nearly what it is today. And today, it's sort of, you know, you just look at the 1 to 10 guys, however you want to slice that up, or wherever you want to pull those 10 guys from. But this is a system that's significantly better. You look at, they brought in Alex Meyer in the Denard Span trade, a guy who I really like, who has, you know, top of the rotation upside. You know, I'm hesitant to say anyone has number one starter upside, but this is a guy who you could definitely see, if everything goes right, a guy who could be a number two starter in the big league someday. And, you know, probably not too far away if things go right. You know, and then they have the ultra toolsy Byron Buxton, Miguel Sano, another really high upside guy. And, you know, Miguel Sano is the type of guy who hits 40 home runs in the big leagues every year. You know, and then there are definitely names. It's a very deep system, and it's got a lot of those high impact guys. You look at guys. Who's the other guy? Berrios, the guy they drafted last year in the supplemental round. You know, there's a lot of upside in the system that really wasn't there at all last year. And you know, the big league team is probably we can't really expect much out of them this year. But there's some reason for optimism in the future, and that seems to be what we're saying about most of these teams. But you know, it seems to really be the case with the Twins, having brought back Terry Ryan just recently. I believe they brought him back before last season, or at the beginning of last offseason. So you know, he's really just getting in now and getting the chance to kind of implement his way again. And so, you know, I think the process is okay. I'm not sure it's a great process, but you look at just based on this past draft and a few of the trades they made, and you have to like the direction.
Yeah, you look at the sort of philosophical shift that this regime has employed, especially when it comes to pitching. Ben Lindbergh, editor-in-chief of Baseball Prospectus, he aptly pointed out that the moves that they made this offseason were indicative of a change in philosophy when it came to the arms that they were putting into their rotation. Traditionally, in the past, Minnesota's been a pitch-to-contact kind of pitching team, typified by guys like Scott Diamond, Scott Baker, Blackburn as well, sinker ballers, induced ground balls. And you look at the arms that they brought in this offseason, guys like Meyer, like you mentioned, and also Trevor May, and these are guys who record a lot of strikeouts and typically have better stuff than what we've seen from Minnesota in the past. So I think they're recognizing there are things that they need to change in order to be more successful at the big league level, and I think that they're addressing that. But they're also a team that will have some questions about the direction of their club that they'll really have to address after the 2013 season. The one I'm referring to specifically is that of Justin Morneau. And I wrote in a piece for Baseball Prospectus highlighting some platoon candidates for 2013. And you look at what Justin Morneau has done against left-handed pitching since he suffered that concussion in 2010. And he's really just been terrible against left-handed pitching. I think he has an OPS south of 550. He's really struggled. And, you know, for the past few years, he's really been a cornerstone of that franchise. And I think that one of the interesting decisions they'll have to make is whether or not they consider him to be a part of their future. And if they decide to let him walk, I think that that'll certainly be emblematic of an entire rebuild, and that really the only piece that is currently on their major league roster that serves to factor into their future plans is Joe Mauer, who's, of course, under contract until 2018, making $23 million a year. But that being said, like you mentioned, it's going to be a rough year at the big league level, but I think that they're making steps and they're headed in the right direction. It's a work in progress, and it's been a recurring theme among all the teams that we've profiled so far. But you know, for the most part, I don't think we've seen a club that really doesn't have a bright future, or they're really not doing the right things. And with Minnesota, you look at the prospects that they have, and of course you've mentioned a few. Oswaldo Arcia is another one who's shown really impressive stuff with the bat in the minor leagues. He has an OPS over 906 over 374 minor league contests. And, there's a lot of reason for optimism. And I think that like six of their prospects are among Baseball Prospectus's top 100. This is right. And, among all the teams we've profiled, I'm not sure I'm more optimistic about a club than the Twins.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand that. And the farm system is definitely, I would say that it's probably better than the others that we've profiled with, or that the other clubs we've gone through, with the exception of Houston. And I think you could actually argue there as to which one is better. I don't know if there's a right answer, but the Twins have a prospect by the name of Hudson Boyd. And that's clearly the greatest first name in the history of baseball. So that's a thing.
I'm trying to think if there's ever been a big leaguer named Jonah that I can just you know, instinctively love, but I really can't think of one. So anyone who's listening, do some research and look up if there's ever been a big leaguer named Jonah. But I suspect.
Okay, I've got two.
Wow. Okay, never mind. Let's hear it.
I don't know these off the top of my head, but Baseball Reference is telling me that there are two who have made it to the big leagues. The first being Jonah Goldman. Jonah Goldman.
Shocker. Goldman's his last name. Go figure.
1928, he made the big leagues with the Cleveland. I'm not even sure they were the Indians at the time. The Cleveland
Indians. Might have been the Naps back then. I'm not sure.
So Jonah Goldman, he played in a total of 148 big league games. He had a career slash line of 224, 293, 283. And he played shortstop and some third base. He made a lot of errors.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, but he was a big leaguer. And so then the next one is Jonah Bayless, who was a seventh-round pick of the Kansas City Royals in 2002. Jonah James Bayless reached the big leagues in 2005 with the Royals, appearing in 11 games, striking out 10 batters in 11 and two-thirds innings. He has not been in the big leagues, and I would guess that he's probably retired at this point. But his final line for his career, he did win 5 games in his career, 4 losses, 6.75 ERA, 64 innings pitched, 54 strikeouts, and 33 walks. So a modest career for Jonah Bayless, big leaguer. So yeah.
So there's not really a strong precedent of Jonah's having a lot of success in the big leagues.
Well, yeah, but I don't know of any first name players named players with the first name Hudson that have made it to the big leagues.
Yeah, it's true.
That might be the case. I just don't know of them, and it's more difficult to search because when we type in Hudson in Baseball Reference, we get all of the we get Orlando Hudson, we get Tim Hudson, we get Daniel Hudson, mm-hmm. Kyle Hudson, Kyrell Hudson.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least for me, like the route I'm taking. I can idolize someone like Jonah Carey, who's a great baseball mind, a very accomplished, well-respected baseball writer that I can sort of model my game after. But in terms of people in your line of work that you can idolize with the same first name as yourself, I'm not sure you have any.
No.
There's no precedent there.
The Florida starter named Hudson Randall, who was like the classic like good college pitcher who is probably never going to be anything when he gets drafted. And so he went to the Gulf Coast League last year for the Tigers. So Hudson Randall's a guy to follow. But Hudson Boyd, I've asked a couple scouts about him. Not optimistic reports on him at all. I know that some people have had optimistic reports, but I haven't. Hudson Boyd being a first-round pick or a supplemental first-round pick in 2011. He's listed at 6'2", 235, but he's a little bit bigger than that. He's a big fellow. His velocity was way down last year, so this will be a kind of a telling year for him as he looks to make the jump to full season ball. He's one of the Twins' prospects, but there are definitely guys in the system to be optimistic about when we look at Berrios, who I mentioned, Luke Bard, another guy they drafted last year. Max Kepler, the German, a guy who they signed a few years back out of Germany. One of his parents was a ballet dancer, and just a super, super good athlete. It's still learning to play baseball. There are tons. I just said that. It's a really good system, that's where we're at, I guess.
Yeah, I remember actually watching Max Kepler play in the qualifying rounds of the World Baseball Classic, and he did impress me. I seem to recall that he hit third and played center field for Germany. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he would do that. He gets good marks for his defense and center. And there are varying reports because I know one guy who really just doesn't see him as more than a fringy guy or an up and down guy. The swing can get a little bit long. The arm isn't, you know, it's not an average arm. And so if he's kind of just a quick guy at this point who you could see filling out and slowing down, then he might just be, and I say he might just be, but, you know, he might be a guy who's more of a fourth outfielder when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he still has tons of tools. He's still got bat speed. He's a ways away. When you're talking about players who are that young and who are at that type of that stage of the development process, you know, there's so many different things that can happen, especially when we're talking about guys who we're not even sure what the body is going to be like in a year or two, or even, you know, when we get to see them in camp. So, there's definitely a lot that can happen with these kinds of prospects.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
On that note, I just wanted to throw it to you real quickly. What it seems to be, or rather what seems to be the case, is that most of this team's high ceiling prospects are still a considerable ways away from the big leagues. Which of them do you imagine could see some time with the big league club in 2013, if any?
The first one is definitely is Kyle Gibson, a guy who they took a chance on as a first rounder who needed Tommy John a few years ago. He kind of shot through their system and, you know, became one of their top prospects, or one of the top prospects in the game. And then he had another Tommy John surgery, and he looks like he's going to be good to go. And, we'll see what happens there. But he did pitch in the Arizona Fall League, and, you know, everything's coming back for him. So he's a guy we should expect to see this year. I would say that it wouldn't be a stretch to guess that we'll see Trevor May at some point. And Trevor May, I'll actually probably get a few chances to go see with the Twins having their AAA affiliate in Rochester, just about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from me here. He's a guy who took some steps back last year. He added a cutter, and his fastball velocity was way down, and then his curveball, which people had really liked, kind of disappeared. So, you know, this will be a big year for him, and obviously the Twins think they can fix whatever went wrong there, but big year for him. Another guy is Joe Benson, who I wrote about at Baseball Prospectus a while back. A guy who's super, super toolsy. If he can stay healthy, and that's been a concern of late. If he can stay healthy, he is a guy who will probably see time. Another guy would be Aaron Hicks. Now, and so, you know, they have this kind of dilemma going into this season as to what their outfield is going to look like. Mm-hmm. With Darren Mastroianni in center field right now, or at least, you know, the most reasonable projection because he's got the experience there. But Aaron Hicks and Joe Benson both can play center field and both can do it probably pretty well, or I would guess even average or even better this year if need be. But those are guys who you'll definitely be hearing from in the not so distant future. Just thinking off the top of my head, I'm not sure there's any really exciting guys who will be around this year or who will make it to the team this year. But you know, definitely down on the farm, lots to be optimistic about.
Absolutely.
And their closer is Glenn Perkins.
Glenn Perkins.
Glenn Perkins.
I don't know. We don't know how many of you watch Parks and Recreation, but before we started recording, we thoroughly enjoyed saying Glenn Perkins, like Rob Lowe's character pronounces Ann Perkins, who is literally the best closer on the Minnesota Twins. And I stole that line from Hudson. He said it, so he gets full credit. I just, I stole it. I'll admit it.
Jared Burton. I'm trying to do it with all their... Casey Fien. Josh Brunick. I can't do it.
Yeah, how about we stop this exercise?
Yeah. But on the Up and In podcast, which was formerly hosted by Kevin Goldstein and Jason Parks, Kevin Goldstein described Jerry DePoto, and he basically said that he was Rob Lowe, the real life version of him. And I've met Jerry DePoto in the past, just once, but I introduced myself, and he shook my hand, looked me in the eye, and then after hearing my name, he repeated my name to me, and just looked excited and happy to meet me. He was just like, Hudson Belinsky, how are you? And it was just like the funniest thing ever, but also at the same time, I'm talking to a major league general manager and trying not to just laugh in his face.
I'll be honest with you, that anecdote probably gets an 80 on the scale. That is an elite, elite anecdote. I really enjoyed that, and I hope that I can have such a memorable story when I first shake hands with a big league executive.
Yeah, we could probably get you AA's address. Just knock on his door and...
Legally or...
No, absolutely not, no.
Or nefariously, yeah.
So we've I think we've exhausted this conversation, I'd say that most of our listeners are probably exhausted, because listening to great baseball conversation has been known to exhaust people.
I need a nap. It's like 6:30.
Yeah, I've got a ton of work to do. And all right, well, I really don't. I'm just gonna say that I have a ton of work to do. So that what is going on in this show? We have just totally derailed.
We have.
But okay,
this isn't even about baseball anymore. We've like moved on to like hockey or soccer or something.
Hockey. That's the Blackhawks have not lost
in regulation.
Yeah, but. Yeah.
Yeah. Were you watching that game yesterday? I was watching it.
No. Was it the you're talking about the one where they scored with they were down 1-0 and yeah, I didn't see it, but I heard about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would fit in up there, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. We'd be happy to have you.
Yeah. You know, I know like 3 Canadians. I know 3 uncloseted Canadians, I should say, on Twitter. Yourself, fellow BP intern Andrew Koo. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And then Ruhi Devji. Are you familiar with her?
Absolutely. She follows me on Twitter.
She's hilarious.
She's great.
Yeah. I know 3 Canadians. And Jonah, I think it's come time for us to end the show. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Actually, I do. I am excited at what Rockies third base prospect Nolan Arenado has been able to do. I believe he hit his 4th spring training home run today.
Wow.
You take those statistics with a grain of salt. I don't suspect that he will break camp with the club. I don't think that there's any urgency to start his Major League Service time clock, considering the position that the team is in, but it's exciting nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And he's certainly putting pressure on management to at least consider having him be their opening day third baseman. So exciting stuff going on in Rockies camp.
Swell-tastic. I'm going to try to come up with something interesting.
No! I mean, yes, by all means.
Okay, so if you want to email the show, you can do that. toolsofignorance11@gmail.com. Follow myself on Twitter @HudsonBelinsky. Follow Jonah @Jonah8264. And Jonah, I think we can say goodbye to our listeners.
See you later.
Hasta luego.
And Jerry, I've decided to take your daughter home. And we may be having intercourse.
Please, you got to stop saying things like that to me.